Did they not feed you after the wedding, Mr. Christmas? I dropped into the reception for only a minute, Tom replied, conscious of the passing figure of his housekeeper as he continued his contemplation of the bounty in the vicarage refrigerator. I didn't have a chance for a bite. He barely knew the young couple he had married that afternoon, Todd and Gemma, other than to have a brief preparatory discussion with them the month before. He had never seen them in church, nor had he seen their families or friends, and didn't expect to see them again, unless the couple wished their baby baptized, which mightn't be far off, given that the bride, wearing a meringue with a train half a mile long, had fairly waddled up the aisle at St. Paul's, the second of the two churches in his charge. Her plump face, when she'd pushed back her embroidered veil, had looked much like a blazing beetroot, he recalled, staring at a jar of the pickled variety inside the door of the fridge. Sweat had sparkled in tiny beads along her exposed hairline, this despite the glacial damp of the nave in January, which some might have construed as the effect of energy expended getting up the aisle, but which Tom interpreted as a dew born of anticipation and triumph. The groom, however, had been a figure of bemusement, his face a kind of Belisha beacon, one moment as blanched as that leftover rice pudding in its puddle of cream on the second shelf, the next as pink as the Virginia ham one shelf below. Tom shouldn't have fancied their chances at marital success. They were much too young. He was a farm laborer, and she was a healthcare aide of some sort, and they were living with his parents. But for some reason he did, and could only chalk it up to a decade's experience splicing couples of varied sorts. He imagined them receiving their 60th anniversary card from the Queen, or the King, as would most probably be then, where other couples, more advantaged, would fall by the wayside. When betrothal is brief, the marriage lasts long. He recalled his father-in-law saying, quoting some bit of Jewish wisdom when he was trying to reconcile himself to his daughter's elopement. How wrong he had been, at least in Tom and Lisbeth's case. The reception was at the Pig's Barrel, Tom told his housekeeper.
A January wedding and a pub reception? Sounds a hurried affair.
A little, perhaps, Tom responded non-committally. He rarely went to wedding receptions anyway, unless he knew the family well. Receptions could murder the best part of a Saturday afternoon, and it wasn't as though he didn't have anything else to do, polish his sermon, for instance. He'd dropped in at Todd and Gemma's only because he'd seen the very attractive village bobby, Marie White, pass through the barrel's doors when he went for his car after the ceremony and couldn't resist the allure of a chance encounter. But, alas, when he arrived, Marie was ensconced, back to him, at a table full of, damn, men. Anyway, snow, ominously forecast to bung up northwestern Europe for the weekend and more, was beginning to fall in earnest, and so getting home to Thornford seemed more imperative than being stood like a lemon at the Pig's Barrel. He looked past the edge of the refrigerator door, wondering if Madron was about to launch into a mini inquisition over the newlyweds. Customarily, she would have ushered them into the vicarage study when they came for their marriage interview, but the wedding had come together all in a rush during busy Christmas week, which Madron had spent with her aging mother in Cornwall, thus depriving her of an opportunity to inspect and pass verdict on events at home.